Up next, we have Inga Hunte from Brooklyn, New York, and she's going to be doing a piece of hers that she has recorded for us, and she's also going to be doing some live stuff. Hi, Inga.
Hi.
Let me just adjust your mic here and make sure everything's working well. Could you say a few words?
I cannot hear you that well.
You can't hear me?
Well, only really soft.
Okay, hold on just half a sec. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. So, Inga, tell us a little bit about the project you're going to be doing today.
Yeah, I compiled shorter pieces together, and they're all about first meetings with people.
Yeah?
One of them I recorded with Ilse van Klei, who's a graphic designer from Rotterdam, who was visiting me.
Yeah?
That's the first time, and we don't have those in Holland, so that was pretty exciting. So one of the conversations is about that, and then there are some shorter, more poetic writings that I do daily, that I record every now and then. So that's what you'll be listening to. And mixed in with that are life conversations. I'm here on the couch of Tuk Tuk Restaurant in Long Island City in Queens. And I'm sitting here now with Louisa Bufardecci.
Great.
Hails from Australia. And I'd like to ask her how it was the first time when she met her and husband. So here she is.
Hi. My name's Louisa, as you said, and I met Dan when I was doing my Master's in Fine Art in Chicago. The first class that I walked into in that fall was an art history class, and he was there, and I didn't really notice him so much at first, but then we had to go on an excursion to a museum, and he came up to me because he wanted to do a group project with me. He came up to me a little bit too closely, and he had this huge smile on his face, and he'd just been riding his bike, and so he had these really fresh eyes, and he had long golden colored hair, and his skin was really bright, and he was so close, and he was like a big lion, and I thought he was going to lick my face or something, and I was just totally enamored at that point. I was really thrilled when our professor decided to put us together in a group to go around this museum, and so we did that, and I just wanted to be by his side ever since. So that's
aww.
How.
Are you there? Sorry?
Beautiful. So that's how they met, and I'm now going to ask Dan the same. Let me go get him. Dan.
So Inga, you're kind of going a little bit in and out. If you probably just speak directly into the telephone.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I am putting the phone. Maybe we should go stand somewhere else. Want to go stand in there? Yeah. Oh, that's too
bad. We got most of it though. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, maybe this is better.
Sounds good.
I'm walking outside now. Is that better?
Yeah, no, you're sounding great.
Okay. Well, here is Dan St. Clair, Louis' husband, and I've been wanting to ask you, Dan, how it felt when you first met Louisa.
It was exhilarating. I was pretty nervous. I probably said something. Yeah, we walked around the... walked around Tahiti together.
You guys are kind of breaking up here. So, Inga, I'm gonna play the first. The first one. Okay.
Okay.
So we have live here a sound piece recorded by Inga, and I'll play that right away. Thank you.
It was kind of a warm day, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were sitting outside.
And it was about dry. 10 at night?
Yeah, I think so. Something around that.
And we were drinking wine on the porch outside, watching the people go by. Oh, it was a Friday night.
It was a Friday night. Yeah.
And then 3 Hasidic Jewish boys walked by.
Yeah. I think they weren't the first Hasidic people walking by.
No, there had been, because I live in a pretty Hasidic neighborhood.
Yeah.
And we were talking, and then there were 3 of them, and they all wore long black coats,
yeah,
and beards and glasses.
And the curls, of course.
And a white shirt. And at first I think they just walked by and sort of stopped and stumbled and looked at us.
They just looked. That was while walking.
Yeah.
They looked back. And then they walked on, but then one came back.
Yeah. And then I waved, and then they walked on.
Yeah, still. You waved while they walked by the first time.
Yeah. But it was funny, because at first we were just sitting there on the stoop, and it's still a couple of meters until the gate.
Yeah.
Until the fence. Yeah. And they were just leaning on the fence
on
with
the
all
points.
The big points. Yeah.
There was really this barrier between us. There was...
And there were all these cars passing, and I couldn't really hear what they were saying. What was our first question? I don't even really remember.
I have to think. Well, I think he asked, the first time he came back, he asked, did you wave?
Oh, yeah.
Because they made a bet. And didn't he then left and came back like 10 minutes later or five
yeah.
minutes later? But what was the first question when they came back?
No, that was, they came back and asked if we waved, and then they stayed.
Okay.
And talked for a while.
Oh, that was it, yeah. But he was almost about to leave, and then we asked him a question, and that made him stay for another
yeah.
3 hours.
Yeah.
Street names here, just First Ave, Second Ave, Third Ave, and Main Street. But people usually say things such as, I live across from the old hospital, or down the road here, above that white house, while widely gesturing. I met a lady who posted her address next to the phone in case of an emergency. She can't remember her own house number, because everything goes to a post box here. Several people have updated me on snoopers in little rural Canadian towns. Apparently people walk around at night looking through your window. This old German lady who moved here in the 50s as a mail order bride told me yesterday that there'd been someone over at her daughter-in-law's house stealing panties. He literally took all her panties. Then when he got caught, there was a giant bag of panties on the city square where the ladies could reclaim their underwear.
Melissa?
Hello.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, of course.
I wanted to ask you about the first time you saw Elias.
Oh god, I don't know if I remember. oh my god, I don't remember. When was the first time I saw you?
Or your first memory of him?
God, is it terrible that I don't remember that stuff? Jeez, that probably is. I don't know. I guess my first memory of Elias obviously would be, you know, a nurse putting him on my stomach, so mostly just a head full of hair. I remember that I thought he was going to, thinking he was going to be a girl, and he was a boy. And I, of course, remember being in shock at the stuff that was there. I was.
How did you not know that he was going to be a boy? You didn't, like...
I didn't have an ultrasound to find that out.
Why not?
Because I didn't want to know.
Really? Why do you want to know?
My mom said there are very few surprises left in life, and that's... Plus, ultrasounds are pretty invasive, and they're not proven that they're actually beneficial, so there's no reason to have them if they're not necessary. And also, I wasn't really interested in knowing the gender of the baby. It was a surprise. It's fun that way. I don't know, but he, you know, I had, like, had a really long, labor, and so I was just sort of, like, tired. So I think after he came out, I was just like, that's it, that's over. And he had a bunch of hair and a penis. Kind of a surprise. Really bloody. And he was tiny, right? And there's about 8,000 people there, so I was more focused on, like, making sure I wasn't expelling anything unnatural or anything. What, that you were tiny? Yeah. You were tiny.
No, say.
You were big like you are now.
I was going to say penis again.
Oh.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, you had a little penis.
He's at some point, I think maybe after half an hour, he said, yeah, because I'm engaged, I'm getting married in 2 weeks. And then I was so inclined to find out how they met.
Yeah, then instead of talking about what Jewish religion was, we started talking about personal stuff.
Yeah.
And it came quite natural.
So
for us strangers.
He was in Israel, and his older brother just got married.
Yes.
So the word went around that now he is up to get married next.
Yeah.
Because
that's
tradition. Didn't they say, yeah, that it's custom?
Yeah.
If you're the oldest one gets married first and the rest just waits in line to get married.
Yes. There was someone in London.
Yeah, a friend of a friend. And then someone's father or something, and they had a daughter. So he flew to London and met with her parents.
Yeah.
And what did he? Usually, you have to meet.
He would meet the father if the father would him. He would also meet the mother if the mother would like him. He would meet. No, then first the parents would meet each other.
And then he would meet the girl.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he met the girl before his parents.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he also must like someone. Yeah, I think it was that order.
But he skipped a couple of those.
Yeah.
He met with the father. Did he meet the father and then the girl, or the father, the mother, then the girl?
He met father... I don't know. I forgot.
Yeah. But I don't remember him saying why he thought she was a good party.
Well, he said it was why she was a good
party. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they had the same education, so they had the same point of view on life, and same interests, and so the character. He liked her character, but then he was doubting because it was the first meeting, and then he thought it could never be that.
Is Neighborhood Public Radio, 88.9 FM. We're live with Ingo Hooten. Hunte? I'm sorry?
Somehow Hunte. I took his left for right, and I kept going. Past the how you doing, past the whistles, past the nice ass. The washing machine repair guy told me about a secret post office in a small supermarket on Lorimer, so I kept going. But the ladies in the laundromat had never heard of such a thing, and told me to go straight where Marcy angles. I took a left, and asked black-coated men for directions. They're not from around here, you know. When you step in a mud pool, they do not smile.
So that was a project that Inga has been working on for the first broadcast, which you are currently listening to now on 88.9 FM, Neighborhood Public Radio. Inga, tell us a little bit about what that last piece was about, what you were trying to aim for there.
Like I said before, it is comprised of several shorter stories, and the last one was more about daily encounters that I'm interested in the way people interact with each other, people that don't really know each other that well. So a lot of my writing is about what happens in that first moment when you just meet someone or where you ask for directions somewhere or just really brief encounters with regular people.
Right. So do you have some more interviews that you were going to be doing out,
yes.
Out in, you're in Brooklyn right now, right?
I do. I'm in Queens right now.
Queens, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, shoot away.
Let me locate my subject. This is someone I met 2 years ago in Brooklyn, who is a friend of one of my friends, and he has been collaborating with someone for the past years, and I'm just going to quickly ask him how the first time was when they met, how they developed in the way that they've been working together as performers.
Sounds good. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. This is Arturo. The first time we met was in college. I was in my second year, and she was in her first year, and we met in the cafeteria. Someone introduced us, and we exchanged, like, one word. Even though we're on the same campus. Our work developed out of probably both being dance majors, and we had to share studios here and there, and then it just developed that we didn't like anybody else. And so we started to change ideas more often, ask each other for help, and now we're just kind of collaboratively.
Okay, so
hang on.
We're kind of losing you a little bit. So if you could speak directly into the telephone, that'd help out a lot. Or on this end.
Yeah, I'll do that for the next break then.
Okay, so should I play the next piece?
Yes.
Sounds good. All right, we've got some live pieces coming or some recorded pieces coming up from Inga Hutne. Hold on.
Green light and was on my way to a meeting when out of nowhere there's this lady in the middle of the street. Can I go left of her, right of her? Not really, cars behind me. So I bumped into her, we both fell. She started screaming at me. You saw me. You were in the middle of the street. I had the green. I asked for a phone number. She yelled at me some more and walked away. Front wheel wrecked, ambulance. Police locking up my bike downtown, ER with cable access TV. A girl limping by, a woman with a walking stick and a nasty cuff, a woman in a bow tie and a wobbly walk. You cannot lay down on the floor. If you lay down on the floor, you'll have to leave. I've seen that look before. A woman with a white laptop. No matter where you come from, the sky is the limit. Another man with an arm injury being temperatured. She's been vomiting and diarrhea since yesterday. We're always looking for stories about people who make a difference. She still breathes irregular. Hello? She's intentionally anti-meniscent. James Russell? Yeah. The two-piece suit rubs his belly. A bottle of urine walks by. Blue slippers, then back in the wheelchair. Talking close to crying, close to laughing. White socks. Why don't we spin the wheel of adjectives? Legs moving. I came out of the shelter. I'm cold. A blue balloon attached to her bag, studying his leg, his arm. Green toenail polish. A golden bracelet on a hairy wrist. He touches his foot. Levi's blue jeans, black-heeled shoes. The most expensive car in the world. That's up next. Is it a microwave oven or a television? He tries to rip up his bandage. I hand him my scissors. You're wearing a skirt?
Do you remember that?
Do you remember being born? Coming out on my belly?
Do you remember being really tiny?
It's too bad that the listeners won't see the facial expression
you're
making
right.
To respond to these questions.
You're trying to... What are you doing?
What are you doing, Gavin? See, he knows. We talked about it. Yeah, but it's so funny. Babies are so little when they come out, and it's like sort of amazing. You can't quite believe it. Like, this thing is in front of you, and all of a sudden it's like breathing the air. Right? I know, that's why I was like, it seems like so long ago. And also, it's, you know, I guess it was such a like. It's weird because childbirth, at least, is like one of those things that I don't really even. Just so like the whole thing's hazy, so even the first few moments of his birth were so hazy, and there's so many people there that I was more concerned about, like, and everyone was like focused on the baby. I was more like in shock, I think, because you're like, you know, all of a sudden there was this thing that was part of you that was like alive that you had to take care of.
Yeah,
I know. And then he like nursed right away. I remember that you're hungry immediately from birth, but he was so little.
Accident. INR 2.6, that's what you want it to be. Yeah, I'll write it down. I can cut it open if you want. I'm afraid my broccoli is going to fall. I'm a technician for the drugs test. Up here? Is that the one not working? No, we've already checked. Someone screams. This is some damn fine couscous.
It was funny because later when we were standing here in the hallway, when we invited them in, I think, yeah, you guys were talking about movies and stuff, and then he was sitting on the stairs and I was just standing there, and then, I don't know, oh yeah, then I said to him that I had just met someone 2 weeks ago and that I wasn't quite sure
where things were going and how I should approach things. And the first thing he said was, "Are you going to get married?"
And he's got such a total different perception.
And then when I said, no, I'm not going to do it until I know for sure that I like someone.
Yeah.
And then he said, yeah, I guess I don't really know if I love her, because I don't know her.
Well, we met her once.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
We're live back here with Inga in Queens, New York, and she, I believe, has stopped somebody on the street, and they're going to talk about their first time meeting. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Okay. And I just met someone who's wearing a blue jacket and gray pants and a really nice baseball cap. And I saw him just sitting on a bench outside of the pet shop. And he looks like someone I'd like to talk to. So we'll briefly talk. What's your name?
Paul.
And where are you from?
Orange City.
And have you lived here all your life?
No.
Where have you lived before?
The Bronx and Queens, other parts of Queens.
And why? What are you doing here right now? Why did you go sit down here?
Rest for a minute.
Were you on your way somewhere?
Yes.
Where were you going?
To McRally's, a bar down the block.
You go there often?
Yes.
You do that every night, or you meet people there?
No, not every night. Occasionally I meet people there.
Are you going to meet someone there tonight?
No.
Okay. Well, that's about it, I think, for tonight. We'll transfer back to the studio.
Sounds good, Inga. Any last words before we play your final clip?
Have a really good next first meeting.
Sounds good. This is 88.9 FM, Neighborhood Public Radio. You're listening to Inga Hutne, and she is in Queens, New York right now interviewing people on the street for the first time. We're going to have one last clip of hers, and then we're going to have Michael Trujillo come on and play his first synthesizer ever. It's going to be a damn good time. Thanks. Hold on.
All patients must exit the terminal, wait for the next ferry. This boat is out of service and will not return to Manhattan. All patients must leave the boat this time. Please take a look around and make sure you have all your personal belongings. Please place all your trash in the proper receptacles. Thank you for riding the Staten Island Ferry. All patients must leave the boat this time.